And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon, serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and southern Massachusetts since 1939. This small business treats you like family, truly a business with heart, supporting local organizations like WJMJ, giving back to the community, and offering customers personalized one-on-one attention with the human touch. Call 800-242-0427 to discuss your propane needs or visit propanect.com for a live chat.
It's time in the Afterglow. Whose time? Well, your time, of course. It belongs to you to do the extraordinary. What that might be? Relax, set aside the anxiety. I'm Father John, and together we share this brief bit of time. We shake off some of the worries that have consumed the day. It's a Wednesday, the 10th day of April. Now, even though you've clocked out of your workday job, sometimes you still have 55 places that you have to get to after work. The dry cleaners, the supermarket, daycare, and so on. Well, this inexhaustible list of errands can further exacerbate your stress level, and yet you cannot escape these tiresome duties. Well, how about prioritizing? Ah, that should help you organize your after-work drive more efficiently, and hopefully you'll find yourself with fewer errands to run and more time for fun with us here in the Afterglow. Together in the Afterglow, a good place to be on a spring day. Now, sit back and relax with me as we spend some time together on this 10th day of April in the Afterglow. We'll take a look at history, find time for reflection, a story or two, and what's so significant about today. Now, if you frequently join me in the Afterglow, you know that we pride ourselves in sharing information that you'd most likely not hear acknowledged anywhere else. Like today, for instance, April 10th, a seemingly ordinary day, but it's one that sees the anniversary of the patent of one of the handiest inventions in all of history.
The stapler? I missed the anniversary for the stapler? Oh, how could I forget?
Calm down. It's not the stapler. But you have the right idea. Today is the patent anniversary of the safety pin. Yes, the safety pin. A variation of the regular straight pin, which includes a simple spring mechanism and a clasp to protect the user from the pin's sharp edge. First patented by William Hunt on this day back in 1849 and sold to W.R. Grace & Company for $400 or $10,000 when adjusted for inflation. Little did Hunt know that his invention would go on to make millions. Safety pins are commonly used to fasten pieces of fabric or clothing together and were also used at one point to keep cloth diapers on babies. Safety pins have also even been used as a fashion accessory, being used for bracelets, earrings, and chains. So there you have it. Expecting the unexpected, we get a brief history of the safety pin on the anniversary of its being patented, only here in the Afterglow. And paging through the chapters of history, we see that today marks the birth anniversary of a true humanitarian. William Booth was born on this day in 1829 in Nottingham, England. Now, you may not be familiar with his name, but you certainly know the effects of his work. He was the founder of the movement that became known as the Salvation Army in 1978. He was apprenticed to a pawnbroker at the age of 13, and experienced firsthand the misery of poverty. He became a Methodist minister, but he broke with conventional church religion and established a quasi-military religious organization with uniforms and ranks. Their mission? To help the poor. offer homes for the homeless, encourage sobriety for alcoholics, provide rescue homes for women and girls, offer training centers and legal aid. Booth recruited from the poor, from converted criminals, and from many other social outcasts. And as a result, the Salvation Army grew rapidly, and its influence spread from England to the United States and to other countries. Now, the Salvation Army is still around today and are most prominent around Christmas time, ringing bells and collecting donations for the needy. However, their charitable spirit lasts year-round. Tonight, we remember William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, on his 195th birth anniversary.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try to feel the way we do today. And then if you can remember, keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for, to enjoy time together in the afterglow. That was Dionne Warwick, of course. I'm Father John, and together we make friendship possible and help make it sacred. This is WJMJ, Catholic Radio, where faith meets life. Now it's time to piece together the individual bits and fragments of life to try to get a vision of the whole picture. So, let's journey toward the intersection of where faith meets life. You are responsible to people, not for them. We are responsible for helping and encouraging others, for guiding them further along, but we are not responsible for their choices. You cannot force a good attitude upon someone. If they want to live in the pits, unhappy, discouraged, and in self-pity, that's their choice. Do not allow them to drag you into the pit with them. If you spend all of your time trying to encourage others, trying to make them do what's right, trying to keep them cheered up, they'll just drain all the life and energy out of you. You cannot bloom if you spend all your time trying to keep others happy. That is not your responsibility. I learned long ago that not everyone wants to be happy. Some people want to live in the pits. They like the attention that it brings. So make the decision to say, if you don't want to be happy, that's fine, but you can't keep me from being happy. If you want to live in the pits, that's your choice, but I'm not diving in there with you. If you want to be a weed, you can be a weed, but I'm a flower. I'm blooming. I'm choosing a good attitude. I'm smiling. I'm happy despite my circumstances. When you bloom in the midst of weeds, you sow a seed to inspire and challenge the people around you to come up higher. And that's a seed for God to take you higher. You may be in a negative environment right now. The people in your life may not be going places. They may lack goals, dreams, vision, enthusiasm. You may not see how you could ever rise above. It might be easy to just accept and settle where you are and think, this is my destiny. Well, let me challenge you. This is not your destiny. You are made for more. God has incredible things planned for your future. But you have to do your part and bloom where you're planted. What does that mean? Develop your gifts and talents. Whatever you do, whatever your occupation is, whatever your age, do your best to be the best. Improve your skills. Read books. Take training courses. Go back to school if you need to. But don't you dare just sit back and think, oh, I'll never rise any higher. I'll never get out of this neighborhood. I guess this is just my lot in life. Your lot in life is to excel. It's to go further. It's to make a difference in this world. Take a stand and say, I will not settle where I am. I was made for more. I'm a child of the Most High God. I have seeds of greatness on the inside. So I am rising up to be the best I can be right here, knowing God will take me where I'm supposed to go. That's where faith meets life.
And it seems like the harder I try, over and over, I'm right back where I began. But you understand, oh girl, when nothing else in this world goes right, oh, I just wanna.
Tell me what kind of man. Tell me what kind of man would I be?
That was Chicago asking the question, what kind of man would I be? Well, you've got the seeds of greatness on the inside, so it's up to you, the kind of person you want to be. In the Afterglow is where we exist, and only on WJMJ Radio, on this overcrowded FM dial, where you've got so many choices of radio stations to listen to. I thank you for making the choice for WJMJ. As for me, I'm Father John, and thank you for sharing some of your time with me this evening. And come tomorrow, we'll do it all again. So I do appreciate your company and your friendship. Now, this evening, we celebrate the birth anniversary of Joseph Pulitzer, an American journalist and publisher who created, along with William Randolph Hearst, a new and controversial kind of journalism. Pulitzer supported organized labor, attacked trusts and monopolies, and exposed political corruption. He was committed to raising the standards of the journalism profession. Pulitzer was born in Mako, Hungary on April 10, 1847. His father was a wealthy grain merchant of Magyar Jewish origin, and his German mother was a devout Roman Catholic. Joseph grew up in Budapest and was educated in private schools and by tutors. Pulitzer arrived in the United States back in 1864 and settled in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, in 1868, Pulitzer was recruited by Carl Schurz for his daily paper, the Westlich Post, published in German in 1878. He acquired the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He worked on the paper from morning to night, determined to make it appealing to the public. He published investigative articles, editorials that assailed government corruption, wealthy tax dodgers, and gamblers. The approach was effective, and the paper prospered with circulation reaching new heights. Joseph Pulitzer died aboard his yacht in the Charleston, South Carolina harbor in 1911. He left Columbia University $2 million in his will, which led to the creation of their Graduate School of Journalism in 1912. In 1917, the first Pulitzer Prizes were awarded in accordance with Pulitzer's wishes. More than 2,500 entries are submitted each year. Only 23 awards are normally conferred. So this evening, let's remember the man who changed the face of journalism, Joseph Pulitzer. Well, you know the saying, all good things must come to an end, and that's precisely what happened on this day back in 1970 when Paul McCartney announced that he was quitting the Beatles, making it official that the iconic rock group was over. There were several factors that led to the breakup of the Fab Four. For instance, their manager, Brian Epstein, passed away in 1967, which left a big void, as Epstein would often help keep the peace between the band members. As with most artistic people, there were creative differences. John's wife, Yoko Ono, created friction between the band members, as she would be present for recording sessions, which the other members did not approve of. These and many other reasons led to the eventual fallout of the group. Paul, John, George, and Ringo parted ways to pursue solo projects. The further they drifted apart, the less likely it was that they would reunite. Well, we just have to let it be, right? Even though two of the Beatles are not with us anymore and the band has been broken up for 54 years, we can always remember these legendary artists for the great music that they made and the amazing contributions they make to rock and roll.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the there's still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Just heard Let It Be by the Beatles. Be the security of your heart. Criticize less. Make simple ideas. Accept who you are. Make better changes. Things will fall into the right place if you let it be. And in the afterglow, we take time to think about things both around us and even beyond us. So it's story time now in the afterglow. Well, you see, there was a country pastor who lectured and complained to one of his church members who had not been to church the previous Sunday. "Why weren't you at church?" "Well, I had haying to do," the farmer explained. "It was over in the back field where no one could see me working on the Sabbath, the Lord's day." "Ah, but God saw you," the pastor protested. "Oh, I know that. But he's not as gossipy as the people around here." Something to laugh about, or laugh at some of those gossipy people that you know.
"You're better than the best. I'm lucky just to linger in your light. Cooler than the flip side of my pillow. That's right. Completely unaware. Can't compare to where you sent me. Lets me know that it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. In the moments where my good times start to fade, you make me smile like the sun. Fall out of bed, sing like a bird.
just like that. You steal away the rain and just like that. You make me smile.
And that was Uncle Cracker with Smile. Sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. So give a stranger one of your smiles. It might be the only sunshine they see all day. I'm Father John, and we get together every weekday evening from 7 to 8 for some music, meditation, introspection, and inspiration. Thank you for your company this evening. Whether you spend some time with your family relaxing at home or whether you've got chores to do this evening, I hope you feel a sense of peace and accomplishment. Now, it's that time of year when new life, new growth will be happening all around us. The temperature is climbing, the time of year when you can enjoy the special artistic beauty of nature. New life is awakening, so take pleasure and notice it all happening. Don't let it pass you by. Well, right now, we're spending time unwinding, de-stressing, and relaxing together in the afterglow. Thanks for your company. Now turn on the light. You'll see better. You will never be completely happy on Earth simply because you were not made for Earth. Oh, you will have your moments of joy. You will catch glimpses of light. You will know moments or even days of peace. But they simply do not compare with the happiness that lies ahead.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances up your hair. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Wednesday of the second week of Easter. No one who believes in Him will be judged. You know, it's remarkable how inclined we are to judge others. Not only their minds or their morals, but also hairstyles, clothes, weight, and other exterior matters. We also judge ourselves, again, not on our morals, but on how others will perceive us. In the time of Jesus, too, there were those who judged him on minor matters of appearance and behavior. He laughed, ate, drank too much. He did not pay enough attention to the law. He was not strict enough with his disciples. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, was humble enough to recognize in Jesus a great teacher from God. He was humble, perhaps desperate enough to ask questions. But Nicodemus was not brave enough to come publicly to Jesus. The Master enjoys a gentle joke at his expense, hinting he prefers the cover of darkness for those question and answer sessions, as though he was up to no good. The Jewish people lived in dread of God's law, fearing that it would find them wanting, that they would be judged unworthy. In an astonishing revelation, Jesus dramatically turns the tables on us. It is not God who will judge us, he promises. We will judge ourselves. To some, this may sound like a wonderful opportunity to be let off their sins. To others, it may spell instant doom, for we are harsher judges of ourselves than anyone else could ever be. Fortunately, Jesus is not merely passing the calculator of sin from God's hands to our own. The judgment Jesus speaks of is our acceptance of Him as Savior of the world. That is how we will judge ourselves. For all people, the ones who make light of their sins and those whose sins weigh too heavy, this is indeed a wonderful opportunity. Have we the courage to grasp it with both hands? Have we the humility to be open-minded, to ask questions, to come out into the light? Father, God, give us the humility to know we need to be saved. Give us also the courage to know our Savior better.
Just a man, and I've had so many
now on this Wednesday, the 10th day of April, in the second week of Easter, as the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, we reflect on God's nourishing and loving presence with us. So we close our time in the afterglow with prayer. Watch, O Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep tonight, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones, bless your dying ones, soothe your suffering ones, pity your afflicted ones, shield your joyous ones. And for all your love's sake, we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Lord, you are the one who knows me best and cares for me most. You are the one who has committed unconditional love to me for eternity. Help me not to fault other people for what I perceive as they're not loving me or caring for me as I want them to. Help me to keep my eyes on you and not on what others do or don't do for me. Help me to continue to show love to others no matter what their response is to me. Thank you that you will never leave me or forsake me.
Love arrives when kind words are spoken. Kindness is the doorway to the heart. The way we speak can keep our love unbroken. The way we speak can demand the love depart. So when harsh tones find a welcome in my heart, in my home, in my head, when I throw stones in place of arms around you, I will pray to God to speak for me instead. Of my day, speak into the corners of my night. Open my ears to listen, my heart to hear. Speak into the moments of my life.
Give ear, O God, to my prayer. Do not hide from my pleading. Attend to me and reply with my cares. I cannot rest.
I tremble at the shouts of the foe, at the cries of the wicked, for they pile up evil upon me. In anger they malign me.
My heart is stricken within me. Death's terror falls upon me. Trembling and fear come over me, and horror overwhelms me.
I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove to fly away and be at rest. I would indeed escape far away and take refuge in the desert. I would hasten to find my shelter from the raging wind and tempest.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace?
Beloved, I am writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard, and yet I do write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you, for the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever lives in the truth comes to the light.
Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is your name, and holy
proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty.
He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Whoever lives in the truth comes to the light. God of love, all time and eternity belong to you. In hope, we pray.
Give us life in you, O God.
Reveal deceptive, corrupt, and unjust practices. In hope, we pray.
Give us life in you, O God.
Protect children from harm and lead them to know their precious worth. In hope, we pray.
Give us life in you, O God.
Instill in all people a love of learning and an acceptance of change. In hope we pray.
Give us life in you, O God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
May the fullness of God's grace, shown to us in Jesus, be with us and attend us all our days. Amen. Amen.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you with steadfast love would keep your watch around us while we sleep.
From evil dreams, defend our sight from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe that we no sinful thought may know.
Some say hate. It's all about our anger. Others say it's all about control. I, for one, am guilty of both charges. It happens when I don't take time alone. So when I find the quiet, when still is the place that I can be, I will pray for just a little silence and for the tender words of God to be in me, speaking to the moments of up my night, open my ears to listen, my heart to hear, speak into the moments of my life.
We now offer a prayer requesting the intercession of Blessed Michael J. McGivney, priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford and founder of the Knights of Columbus.
God our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and orphan, you call your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of Christian family life and to lead the young to the generous service of their neighbor. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the church. Let the inspiration of your servant prompt us to greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask that you glorify your venerable servant, Blessed Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth, according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favor I now present.
through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and the chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Lighten our darkness, and in your mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. Visit this home, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from it the snares of evil. May your holy angels dwell with us and guard us in peace through the night. And may your blessing be always upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Speak into the moments of my day. Speak into the corners of my night. Open my ears to listen, my heart to hear. Speak into the moments of my life. Your words give me light so that I can find my way to the place where I speak tenderly. Your voice makes a difference in the way my voice is heard. So speak to me.
May Almighty God keep you from all harm throughout this night and bless you with every good gift. May He set His word in your heart and fill you with lasting joy. May He strengthen your faith with proofs of His love so that you will persevere in good works. May you walk in His ways, always knowing what is right and good until you enter your heavenly inheritance. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Night Prayer in the Afterglow with Father John. Thanks for listening. In the Afterglow, a time of reflection and relaxation is underwritten in part by the people of Superior Energy of Vernon, Connecticut. Now in their 80th year, they offer personalized 5-star propane service to customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. For more information, call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com. Coming up is Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin from the WFMT Radio Network. This is WJMJ at 88.9 in Hartford, 107.1 in New Haven. WJMJ, Catholic Radio, where faith meets life, and where we're inviting you to be to enjoy an entire evening of relaxing music tailor-made for you.